Thank you, Josiah, for that song, boy. I'd love to be able to sing like that, but then my wife might not like that very much. Amen. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, and that's where we'll be today. Always excited about the opportunity that the Lord gives me to preach, and I will say this, all right? You won't have to say it. I am not the greatest preacher. I'm going to give you simply what the Lord has given me. And that's all I can do. And I asked the Lord already that He would help me to convey the message that He's given me to you in the way that He gave it to me. Luke chapter number 2, the Christmas story. As we think about the Christmas story, just for a moment, we all know the scene very well, and we know that the angel Gabriel comes to this young woman named Mary and announces that she will birth this child. And it's important that we understand that the angel came to this virgin woman. Boy, that is something that the world is trying to take away from the Christmas scene. The fact that Mary, she was a virgin and she did birth this child is unlike any other conception. And it truly was a miraculous, immaculate conception. There never had been any relations between she and a man. And there are those that would like to deny the facts of the virgin birth. And can I tell you, that is an essential to what we believe, is that Jesus was born of a virgin. You understand, if He was not born of a virgin, He would not have been able to be the sinless Son of God. And so it is important that we understand that. And there are those that would like to take that away. And they would say that it's just scientifically not possible. And that may be true, but can I remind you, we have a big time God. And God doesn't need anything. Let me remind you, it was God that created the heavens and the earth with just His words. It was God that created mankind from just the dust of the ground. God doesn't need anything. He can do it. And so He did. He placed that seed there in the womb of Mary. And the angel, as the angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call His name Jesus. And by the way, we're thankful for that. Amen. And just as the angel announced to Mary that this would take place in Luke chapter number 1, and we read up to Luke chapter number 2 is where we will read this morning of the birth of Jesus. If you would, take your Bibles and let's stand. You're at Luke chapter number 2. We'll read a few verses and then we'll pray and we'll get right into the message. Luke chapter number 2. If you're there, say amen. All right, Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for Lord, what this service represents, God. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to this sin-sick world, God. And Lord, we understand that, God, you didn't have to do that, but God, you did it. And Lord, you loved us so much, God, that you were willing to send your son so that we can spend eternity with you, God. Thank you for that. Lord, thank you for those that are here today. Father, I pray that you would help us just for a moment, Lord, to set aside the cares of our own personal lives, God, things that that are going on at home, and Lord, the hustle and bustle of Christmas and family that's coming in, and Lord, there are many things that our minds can be entertained with this morning, Father, and Lord, I would just ask you that, God, you would help us to remove those things just for a little bit. Lord, I pray that you would help me, Lord, as I stand. God, I am not all that I should be. Lord, I'm simply a sinner saved by grace, and God, I thank you for that. Lord, you've chosen, Lord, for this time, Lord, that I would stand and preach, God. And Lord, please remove me. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I ask you, God, would you help my words, Lord, to be clear? And Lord, help me, Lord, to be able to convey the message, God, as I've already asked you, Lord, to those that are here, Lord, the way that you've given it to me. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. So we will, in just a few days, celebrate and remember this moment in time when God Jehovah, what we've just read about, came to this earth in what the Bible says in the form of a man. Though we don't know the exact date that Christ was birthed into this old sin-sick world, we do know that he was born. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born into this world, and the day of December the 25th, we have set aside to celebrate that birth. And may I say, society has attempted to remove Jesus from the forefront of what Christmas and what the Christmas season is all about. Just as, if you'll remember, Herod, he would like to have removed Jesus from what Christmas is all about. You'll remember that Herod had ordered all the children to be killed under the age of two. And he even goes as far as sending these wise men to find where Jesus was born and to bring him word again so that he could go and visit him, welcome him, if you will, himself. And can I say to you this morning, society, they've made Christmas and the Christmas season all about family and all about trees and lights and Santa and presents. And think about it, all of the things that society puts their focus on with Christmas. They've made it about stockings, and they've made it about Christmas plays and all of the goodies. Let's not forget about that. And the snow and relationships. And just to be quite frank, society has removed Jesus completely from the scene of Christmas. And it's gone from Merry Christmas to Merry Xmas. It's gone from Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. It's gone from Merry Christmas to Jolly Holidays, and etc. And it's gone from remembering that which it originated from to those things that I previously mentioned. The Christmas season. You've heard the term, though, or you've heard the question in church services and here and there. The question: imagine if Christ had not been born. And that's where I want to go this morning. I want you to think about it just for a moment. I want you to just seriously take your mind and think about what if Christ had never been born? What if the passages that we read about are written in Scripture, if they were removed from the Word of God, and we don't read about this one called Jesus that would be birthed into this earth, what if he had never been born? If we remove him from history, think about it this morning. What if we removed him? Imagine a Christmas without Jesus. And I want to preach to you just for a moment this morning. I'll try to be quick and be mindful of the time, but I want you to think about this thought: a Christmas without Jesus. A Christmas without Jesus. What does that even look like? Ask yourself that question. Boy, what if Jesus never had been born? What if he never came to this earth? And we didn't reflect back on the fact that he came to this earth and was born of a virgin, and he lived a sinless life, and he went to the cross of Calvary for us and paid the sin debt that man couldn't pay, and was buried, and he rose again the third day. What if those things never took place? What does that mean for you and for me, if we remove Jesus from Christmas. And there are some things in the scripture that I'd like to look to quickly that I see that would not be if Jesus had not been born. I want to give you four things quickly. I see, first of all, in the scripture, and we'll go there here in just a moment, but I see, first of all, Christmas without Jesus means, number one, there is no hype. There is no hype. There is no excitement. As I look at Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter number 2, I see an excitement that's in the air. I see, you can start back in Luke chapter number 1 at verses 28 through 33 as the angel comes to Mary. Boy, the angel comes and says, "Hey Mary, listen, you're going to birth a child into this world. Listen, I've got some exciting news. You're gonna birth this child, and you're going to name this child Jesus, and this child is going to be the Savior for all of the world." Boy, there's an excitement in the air as the angel comes. And then we read about just a few verses later, verses 39 through 41 in chapter number 1 of Luke. Mary, boy, she gets that news, and you know what? It's just like whenever any lady gets that news about a child. You get that news from the doctor. Many of you, you'll remember this, and I remember it well. Boy, we sat there, and the doctor come in, and the doctor said, "Miss Nichols, you're going to have a baby boy." Oh man, it was just ecstatic, and man, the excitement was in the air, and couldn't wait to tell somebody about this baby that was about to be birthed. The same is the case for Mary. Mary goes and she shares the news with her cousin Elizabeth. You'll remember the story there in Luke chapter number 1, and she goes and she tells Elizabeth, "Elizabeth, I'm with child, I'm going to have a baby." And boy, we read about how that there's excitement in the air. In fact, the excitement was so great in the air, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb whenever the news was brought. There was excitement in the air. The angels, they bring the news to the shepherds in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8 through verse number 12. And they say, hey, listen guys, man, there's been a baby born. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We read about the excitement of the angels there as they bring the news to the shepherds. And then we read about the excitement of the angels within themselves there in the following couple of verses, verse 13. And verse number 14, the Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There's excitement in the air. There's hype, if you will. In chapter 2, verse 15 through verse number 20, we see the shepherds' excitement within themselves. Boy, they're excited about the fact that, this long-awaited Messiah is come to the earth. As the excitement was in the air, can I remind you that it didn't have anything to do with Mary. It didn't have anything to do with Joseph. Listen, and boy, hey, I think it's necessary that we understand that to some extent, because there are those that are in religious circles that, boy, they have put Mary above Jesus Christ. And can I remind you, as we look at the scripture, the excitement that we see, it wasn't about Mary. It wasn't about Joseph. There was an excitement about the shepherds and the location of the birth and the wise men. That's not what brought the excitement. Can I remind you? There was excitement in the air because of Jesus. Boy, think about a Christmas without Jesus. A Christmas without Jesus means there is no hype. There was excitement in the air because this baby boy, Jesus, that was to be born, he was the one that had been prophesied about. Listen, he was the one that was the long-awaited Messiah. He would be the deliverer, if you will. There's excitement in the air because of Jesus, my friend. You remove Jesus from the scene and there is no excitement. Why do we have excitement here in the Christmas story? I say it's because of Jesus. Oh, without Jesus, there is no hype. Jesus, can I say, really is what Christmas is all about. He really is what Christmas is all about. He is, if you will, the hype of Christmas. He was what the excitement was all about here in the scriptures. And can I say to you, still today yet, is he the excitement of Christmas? Let the world, listen, friend. Let the world look to the gifts
Let the world look to the parties, and let the world look to the lights and the Christmas trees and the goodies and the songs, and let them look to the movies, and let them look to Rudolph and Frosty and all of those other things. But can I tell you, as Christians, we look to Jesus as the excitement of Christmas. He is the hype of Christmas. Those things that I just mentioned, can I say to you, they only bring excitement for just a period of time. Oh, there! You know what? I like Christmas music. I like to hear Christmas music. But can I tell you, that music does me good for a little while. But man, listen, when I get to thinking about Jesus and that He was birthed into this earth and that He came for me so that I could have a hope someday of a home in heaven. Hey, listen, that's what excites me. It's not the music. It's not the lights. It's not those things that I miss. That I mentioned. Can I say a Christmas without Jesus is a Christmas, number one, with no hype? You can take away those material things. Listen, friend, you take all of those things and you can take them away. And you know what? Everything will be just fine. But can I say, don't take away Jesus. Oh, listen, Jesus, He's what it's all about. You remove Jesus and there is no hype. There is no excitement about Christmas. So I see, first of all, a Christmas without Jesus means, number one, no hype. It's a Christmas of no hype. A Christmas without Jesus means not only is there no hype, no excitement, but it means also that there is no hope. There is no hope. You understand today, friend, that it was Jesus, the Messiah, that would bring hope to the Jewish race. Matthew chapter number 1, if you read that account of the Christmas story, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You understand? You remove Jesus from the scene and there is no hope. There's no hope if you remove Jesus, but let me continue to go on. Don't let me stop there with the Jewish race. Not only was it the fact that hope came to the Jewish race, but friend, that hope came for us as well. It came for me. It came for you. Without Jesus, there is no hope. In 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 2, the Bible says this. It reminds us that He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Can I say to you, a Christmas without Jesus means there is no hope. But thank God there is hope. Listen, friend, hey, because He did come and He came to be that perfect sacrifice for sin. Amen? There is hope today. You see, friend, the Bible reminds us in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23 that the wages of sin is death. Hey, we're reminded of that. Listen, we're lost in our sin. The wages of sin is death. I deserve nothing better than a devil's hell. Friend, listen, you deserve nothing better than a devil's hell. Listen, take your halo off this morning. The wages of sin is death. Oh, but I'm glad the verse doesn't end right there. Remainder of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You understand today, friend, without Jesus, listen, man is condemned because of sin. Without Jesus this morning, hey, I'm destined to everlasting punishment in a devil's hell. Listen, you're destined to an everlasting punishment in a devil's hell. Without Jesus this morning, there's no opportunity to be restored to the Father. It's because of Jesus. Take Jesus out of Christmas, and what do you have? I say you have no hype. I say you have no hope. Listen, friend, without Jesus, all that we can do is make the best of this life. Do the best that we can. You know what? We can get up today and, man, we can brush our teeth and put on deodorant and go to work like we're supposed to and do the best that we can from day to day. That's all that we have. What a sad reality that would be. Think about it. Christmas without Jesus. Man, I just do the best I can. You know what? I'm kind to people as I go throughout my day, and I do those things that are good. I just do the best that I can. But can I tell you, Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, it's still in the Bible. Boy, a common verse, but I think many times we look at it and we just skim over it, and we don't really take into account, boy, what really took place. The Bible tells us that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And can I remind you this morning, friend, listen, without Jesus Christ, as I look at the Christmas story, if you will, I see hope as this Jesus would be born to give hope and to give a future to look forward to. And friend, can I tell you, they rejoiced. We can look back and we can rejoice that He did come. I don't have to remain lost, amen. I don't have to remain without hope because He was born. Christmas without Jesus, I see first of all that it's a Christmas with no hype. I see not only is it a Christmas with no hype, but I see that it is a Christmas with no hope. I say thirdly, as I move on, I see a Christmas without Jesus is a Christmas with no harmony. It's a Christmas with no hype or no excitement. It's a Christmas with no hope, but then it's a Christmas with no harmony. I want you to understand. At the very moment that Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the relationship between God and man was severed. At that very moment, you go back to Genesis chapter number 2 and chapter 3, and you read about it. At that very moment, though Adam and Eve, listen friend, at that moment, though they didn't physically die, listen, they died spiritually. The fellowship that they once had with God was no longer there. You'll remember as you read through the book of Genesis there in the beginning, boy, they would walk with God daily throughout the garden. And they would fellowship with Him. But no longer would that take place because of sin. Sin had crept in, and now no longer would they fellowship with their Creator. In fact, can I say to you, their sin would begin what we call a snowball effect throughout history. We're reminded, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the harmony that once was there now was not existent because of sin. Because of sin, an animal sacrifice must regularly be offered to cover man's sins, but could never take away the sins. We're reminded of that in Hebrews in chapter number 10. There was a need for a perfect sacrifice, friend, that could not just cover the sins, but would take away the sins. Thank God for Luke in chapter number 2 and verse number 11. If you're in Luke chapter number 2, look over at verse number 11 and look at it. It says this, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior. The very name Jesus means salvation. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice, friend. Can I remind you of that? Without Jesus, a Christmas without Jesus, listen, it means that there is no harmony. Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, "But this man," talking about Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice forever, sat down on the right hand of God." He offered himself a sacrifice that would not only cover sin, but remove sin and bring man back into the proper relationship with the Father. That harmony that had been lost there in the Garden of Eden when man took of that fruit that was forbidden. Hey, listen, that harmony now is available again to you and to me. Why? Because Jesus came. He was birthed into this earth. Without Christ in Christmas, can I say to you, there's no chance for man to be redeemed. Oh, we would still be dead, as the Bible records it, in our trespasses and sins. I'm thankful for Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14. We find it written there, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ it was, listen friend, Jesus Christ it was that bridged that gap between God and man. And if I will accept Him as my Savior, listen, if you will accept Him as your Savior this morning, listen, the Bible tells me, Psalm chapter 103, verse number 12, that as far as the east is from the west, He will remove my transgressions. Boy, praise the Lord for that. A Christmas without Jesus, listen, it means that there is no excitement. It means that there is no hope. It means that there is no harmony. Oh, listen, friend, don't take Jesus out of Christmas. Without Jesus, we have no Christmas. He is the reason for Christmas. I know that seems like a trite slogan as we've taken it and we've placed it in our front yards, and even those that really don't believe that to the core will say Jesus is the reason for the season. Can I tell you, boy, let's take that to heart. Jesus truly is the reason for this season, a Christmas without Jesus, it means there's no hype, it means there's no hope, it means there's no harmony. But then last of all, let me say this. A Christmas without Jesus means there's no heaven. For you, for me, there is no heaven. Oh, listen. Without Jesus, we only, as I said before, have the time that we have here to make the best of. I'm with Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 19. He says this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul says, man, if there's nothing after this, man, good night. What are we doing? Man, let's just live life the way we want to. Let's just do what we want to do and be happy if there's nothing for us to look forward to. But can I remind you this morning, it was because of this baby Jesus being born to this earth and living a sinless life and becoming the sacrifice for man's sin on Calvary that we are able to look forward to heaven. It's because of Jesus that we do have that hope of heaven one day. Without Jesus, listen friend, no heaven for me, no heaven for you. Without Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 9 through 11, it would read like this. And such are some of you. Ye are not washed. Ye are not sanctified. Ye are not justified. Hey, listen, friend. We would be destined to punishment in hell that we deserve. We would have no hope of heaven. Listen, we would look to the grave and say, well, that's the end. But can I tell you, friend, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Verse number 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Oh, listen, we do have hope. We can look forward to heaven. Listen, friend, because Jesus did come. Jesus came, and I can look past the grave, and I can look to a place called heaven, a place that's perfect. Listen, friend, a place that is pain-free. Hey, some of you deal with that daily. We can look to that. We can look to the fact that, man, one of these days I'll put aside the cares of this life, and one of these days I can put aside the difficulties that I deal with and the challenges that cause me difficulties. And one of these days, hey, listen, we can look forward to a place that is without sin, a place with no sorrow, a place with no death. Hey, listen, friend, we can look to heaven because Jesus came. A place to be for all eternity with the Heavenly Father. The Bible says for those who put their trust in the saving work of Jesus Christ, John chapter number 14, verses 1 through 3. Boy, I'm glad they're in the Bible. But it says this. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Can I remind you? A Christmas without Jesus, friend, listen, is without any of these. There's no hope, or there's no hype. There's no excitement. Man, the excitement is in Jesus. Without Jesus, a Christmas without Jesus, it means there's no hope. Man, I don't have any hope. I'm lost in my sin. There's nothing that I can do about it. Christmas without Jesus is one of no harmony. That relationship can never be mended. I can never call Him my Heavenly Father. Oh, listen, I can't sing the song that we sing in the songbook. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I'm His own. Listen, without Jesus, hey, that's not there, friend. Without Jesus, there's no harmony. And then last of all, without Jesus, there's no heaven. Without Jesus, there's not any of these. Can I say, thank God He came. Thank God He came. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 11. Boy, I've got it underlined in my Bible. For unto you is born. That word is an important word. Unto you is born. Hey, there's my proof. He came. He came. He did come. He was born. He did die and pay for sin, for man's sins. And because of that, hey, listen, friend. I can have excitement in Him. I can have hope in Him and harmony in Him. And I can look to this place called heaven. Can I say this morning, maybe you're here and you're without Christ. You're not a believer. You've never accepted the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ offers. Payment for your sin, for my sin, so that we don't have to spend eternity in a place called hell. Can I say, don't spend another Christmas without Jesus. Listen, friend, don't spend another Christmas without Jesus. You don't have to. I don't have to spend another Christmas without Jesus. And I can experience these things that I've mentioned this morning. A Christmas without Jesus. Boy, I'm glad He came. Amen. Aren't you? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word, God. Thank You for, Lord, the encouragement we can find in it. Thank You, Lord God, for the guidance we can find in it. Thank You for the hope that we can find in it, God. Thank You, Lord, for the promises that You give us in Your Word. Lord, as we think back on the birth of Your Son, Jesus, Lord, we're so grateful. We're so thankful that, Lord, You didn't just leave us in our sin. You didn't leave man in his sins. But You did send Jesus. He did come. He did pay that ultimate sacrifice that, Lord, makes it possible for one day us to spend an eternity with You. And God, there may be one here today. Father, there may be more than one. I don't know. But, Lord, there may be some that are without Jesus Christ. They've never realized that they're a sinner and understood that there's a payment for sin. And God, that they've understood that Jesus came to pay that debt that we can't pay. And Lord, they've never accepted that gift. Lord, You made it simple for us. All we have to do is accept that gift. Call upon You. Accept You as payment for our sin, Father. And we can have that hope of eternal life. God, I pray You'd use the message however You would this morning. I pray that You'd speak to our hearts and, Lord, help us, Father. Lord, there are many here that, Lord, they've accepted the gift of salvation. Lord, we just need to take the time to reflect back and thank You for being so good to us, Lord, for sending Your Son, that He would die and be the payment for our sin. I pray You'd use the invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.